Bodo Randos, Bodo Randos, here we come. Bodo Randos, Bodo Randos.
These are not podcast quality chairs.
I think it's because of all the swass I got from being outside.
Well, that and it's leaning. Look at the whole thing leans. You're going to end up falling.
Careful.
Now. Why? It is lean. It leans forward.
You gotta like. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Whatever.
This suck. Hopefully, it won't wind up on the floor.
Welcome to Border Outdoors Podcast. I'm Mac.
I am Tim,
and we got
Austin
and Andy.
Austin, now for all you guys that know, and if you're
active on the border page on Facebook, you'll see some posts with him once in a while. So he does a lot of fishing on a lake that a lot of us have never really been on. So the Big Lake of Superior. That'd be kind of cool to talk about that a little bit, because we usually try to talk about a lot of the local lakes around here, but I've never actually fished Superior and don't know anything about it. So I want to learn more about it from Austin. Some conversations I've had with him. You know, he gets out enough to where he knows his way around and is able to get on the fish. And the pictures I see him posting on Facebook and stuff, it looks like an absolute blast. So
yeah,
we want to get him on here and talk about that a little bit too tonight.
It's funny about Austin, though, is I can't wait to have him on because what was the two? It was at least two times. We're like, hey, why don't you come on the podcast? Did you want to be on the podcast? I think I even messaged you on Facebook a long, long time ago.
Yeah, we talked a while back, yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, we'll have you come on. And then Tim's like, I can't get him on. I can't get him to come on the podcast. He's too nervous. And we're like, what are you talking about? Like, you don't have to be nervous. And then now all of a sudden he's like, come over for dinner on Tuesday. I got Austin and Andy coming over. We're going to talk about fishing Lake Superior. And I'm like, freaking sweet. Let's do it. Now he can finally come back on or come on.
Yeah, we're running out of time with me moving. So.
Oh, yeah, you're moving up to where?
Up to Spooner. Be working in Rice Lake. It's about 25 minutes from Spooner.
So you're going to go back to Wisconsin.
Yep.
You're like, besides Scott, you're like our only Wisconsin listener. I'm just kidding.
Over on the east side.
Yeah, east side.
That's where all the good shit happens.
Well, we got to get our mix going here because we are border outdoors, and it was supposed to be the Minnesota-Wisconsin border, so we're getting our Wisconsin fixing today.
But no, thanks for coming on, guys. It's going to be really fun to listen to this because I don't know anything about fishing big water. I don't really know anything about fishing, and Tim says that you're like the prodigy.
I wouldn't say that.
I don't know. Because all of a sudden, like, he's like, I'm going fishing up with Austin from work. I'm like, okay. And then he sends pictures. Yep, we got this many walleyes. And I'm just like, Jesus.
Yeah, except he lied about how many we kept.
Oh.
Well, the details are a little bit fuzzy. So that's how long we were out there. And I think I said like 2.5 hours. I should have probably said at least over a little over a case of beer. those details were fuzzy.
Yeah. Well, we'll get right to her. Austin, you're a border fan. You know how the old thing goes. So what's your first experience?
I guess my first experience would be most guys are on the search for a 20-pound plus lake trout. And I finally beat that a couple weeks ago on Lake Michigan. So that was pretty cool.
You how much did it weigh?
It was just over 20 pounds.
This freaking mic is cutting out.
Yeah. Is his gain way up?
No. I think it's his cord. Try it again. 20 plus pounds.
Yep.
What was it? Was, come on. There's got to be more to the story besides you reeled in a 20 plus pound lake trout.
There's not much to it. We were on a charter boat, so I hate to admit it. I'd really like to get it out of my own personal boat, but went down with a few guys, did a charter, and we brought our own boats down there too to fish after the charter, but we ended up getting the 20 pounder on the charter boat. So
how do you guys do when you're out on your own though?
I think we had six or seven that night. We we were only able to get out one night, so.
What? I'm a detail guy for stories. So you drove over there. There's no shame of going charter fishing out there, even though you're really into fishing. But that is a big freaking lake trout. What were you using, or what was the?
We were using flashers and flies. It's kind of hard to explain.
I know exactly. There's a company, maybe Superior Angling.
Yeah,
they have a YouTube. So I started watching them a couple years ago. And it's how deep were you?
We caught that one in 120 feet.
We're using downriggers.
Yeah. Yep.
And like, go what? For people that don't know, what's a downrigger?
It's hard to explain, but it's almost like a small boat anchor that you send down, and you attach your fishing line to it, and it's used to pull your line down. And some of the downriggers have up to like 300 feet of cable on them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're trolling, if you let out 300 feet, you're probably only getting down maybe 200 feet with the blowback.
Okay, so you are trolling with that downrigger down, though.
Yeah.
That's what keeps it down airways.
If you've ever I look at boats all the time on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and like you see the back of a boat, and it looks just like two spools with like a black thing that comes up. And I think you hook your rod onto there, right? And then you attach your reel to it. Because there isn't, I don't even know how much line, even using lead core, which is a heavy line, because all the baits and stuff that you use for fishing, nothing is designed to get down to 120 feet of water.
Right.
You'd have to have, I don't know, what, 500 yards or some ridiculous amount of line to get that deep. So this just pushes it down. Like when I've gone fishing for walleyes, I've done weights with the clips on them. I can't think of the fancy word. Snap weights.
Yeah.
So then you don't have to put that much line out even when you're trolling in 50 feet of water. You just snap it on like your trolling rod, send it down, and then there's that app. What is it called?
Offshore. It's a brand.
Precise Trolling?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it gives different. It's a chart. You know, if you set your line out this far and clip your weight on, you know, it'll dive down this deep, and then different speeds obviously affect how deep it'll go too.
Yeah, and it's cool because on that Precise Trolling, for like anyone that trolls for for walleyes, I think you can use it for anything. You can, it's kind of expensive, but not really. You can buy whatever lure you have. So say you have a number 5 shad wrap by Rapala. You buy that, and it'll give you a whole list of if you're using a 1-inch, 1-ounce snap weight, 2-ounce lead core, or if you're not, if you're using like just regular like 20-pound test, it'll show you if you want to get down 50 feet, you have to put this amount of line out. So you know exactly where you are on that app.
Does it tell you like your speed of trolling too, where you got to be at? Yeah.
And like, did you know how they figure this out?
That I don't actually know.
There's a guy down there. There's a scuba diver in the lake, and then they put on all these different jigs or wraps, and they drive by whatever buoy they have in the water, and they mark on their line counter how much line they have out. And they're like, okay, you're going this fast, and you're at this depth. This is what it is. And they just keep doing that with all the different lures they have on there.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. It makes it super easy for guys like us that don't want to go spend all the, you know, the fuel on the boat. It's freaking cool.
They did all the homework for you, so you're all ready to roll.
Yeah, it's, people are like, I got it a couple years ago, and all my brother's wife and his girlfriend and then Mariah, they're like, that's stupid. That takes all the fun out of it. No, makes it more fun, because now you don't have to get all flustered figuring out where you are and why aren't you catching fish, because you think you're supposed to put 100 yards out. And you're supposed to put 50, so you're way deep, or, you know, not where you want to be.
Yeah, you're going to eliminate some of that failure right away, because you're going to get discouraged because you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And that's a good way for them to sell their product too, because they have that information out there ready for you.
Yeah, everything's ready. Like when you're just sitting out there, like, oh, let's throw this on. How deep do I got to go? All this.
Yep. Huh. So that was Michigan Lake, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He hasn't. What was the weather like? Blue skies.
What was the mood?
Yeah.
The first day, it was. I've never gotten sick on either Lake Superior or Michigan. And that first day was pretty miserable.
Five, six rollers?
There was solid eights.
Oh.
What kind of boat were you guys in?
It was like a 38-footer, 40-footer.
That's a big boat, though.
Yeah. Even the charter captain said most people they would cancel on, but he said since it was us, he'd take us out, but... We actually ended up coming in early the first day just because it was so rough out, and then they made up that time the second day.
Do you remember who you went out through? What was the charter?
It was Ninja Charters with Luke Chatfield. I know him a little bit personally. He's actually 23, so...
And he's a young guy.
He owns his own boat and everything, and has his captain's license. And
who'd you? What city or town did you go?
Port Washington.
Port Washington.
Yeah.
At 23 years old, he knows what he's doing. Oh, he's been on that lake a handful of times.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Our main thing was to do the charters the first couple days and let them show us where the fish were.
I was going to so say, you sandbag on some fish. I knew it was getting to that. Oh, it's just, can I bring my Lowrance out here and just kind of mark?
I got Navionics on my phone, so I was marking the spots.
Right. I'm sure if you would have asked him, he would have just told you.
No, I told him. Oh, I was like, yeah, we brought our own bullets down. He's like, if you have any questions, just feel free to message me on Facebook. And he said he would try to answer any questions.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, that's pretty cool of him to do that. How far out did you guys have to go then?
We were about, I think we were 4 to 5 miles out.
Okay.
And I think at the max, we were about 10 miles south of the port we went out of.
All right. So what are they kind of aiming for? Are they aiming for like rock piles out there or any kind of structure? Is it for like flat bottoms? Is there like something they're looking for?
Basin fishing, ain't it?
Yeah. A big thing, a lot of guys run fish hawks, and it's actually a temperature probe that you can connect to your downrigger ball. And a lot of guys look for changes in temperature, not just surface temp, but they're trying to figure out where that thermocline is.
Oh, yeah.
Water column.
What's thermocline for? I get kind of messed up by it.
It's pretty much just a change in water temps. Like this time of year on Superior, you're trying to find that cooler water.
I was gonna say, are they looking for like a 5 degree difference or a 10 degree, or is it pretty significant?
There's times where it's just a couple degrees.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Okay.
You could be marking fish and not catching them, and then you find a change in temperature by a couple degrees, and you'll start catching fish.
And in the spring, you want to find the warmer water.
Yep.
But like in the middle of the summer, well, maybe on the big lakes, you still want to find the warmer water, right?
Not right now.
Not like this Lake Michigan. Does that get somewhat warm?
Yeah, definitely. I wasn't paying attention to water temps when we were down there, but it was pretty warm.
It was. So it's not like Superior. Because, like, I could see with Superior the water temp changing a little bit. And with Superior, would you want a little bit warmer water or still cold?
Right now, it's actually too warm. I had a hell of a time trying to find cooler water last weekend.
And, see, that's what's weird is because we were talking about this before. Like, when we went up to North Shore, I was looking up all these facts, and they said that you can throw a body in there and it won't float because the water is so cold. It's
right
between 36 and 39 degrees. But you said the surface temp was 70. So how far down is that? And that's the thermocline, right? Or is, no?
No. I was just reading surface temp. I don't actually have the ability to read below the surface. I don't have one of those fish hawks.
Okay.
But it's pretty warm all the way through the water column right now.
So it's like, what, 70?
Yeah.
It's weird.
But there's a complete difference between the south shore and the north shore of Lake Superior. I've never really fished the north shore that much, but I've seen reports that the water is still in the 30s up there, water temp.
Oh, wow.
It's fucking cold. Do you do a lot of fishing up? Have you done fishing up there?
Just with Austin.
Is he as good as everyone says he is?
You know, yeah. I hate to admit it, Wisconsin boy, but he knows his shit. Oh, I don't know if I can.
You can say.
Oh,
that.
You can say whatever you want. Right on.
But yeah,
this is America, for Christ's sake.
Kim's just gonna have to deal with it.
But yeah, I mean, going out there, like what Tim was saying the other episode, going out to Alexandria, just he knows his shit. That's for sure. Yeah.
He can put you on the fish.
He can definitely put you on the fish.
I don't know if it's the lake we were on up in Alexandria, but watching the fish finder too, with all the fish that were stacked up through there, it's like, holy crap, they're out here. You know, mm-hmm. It was pretty exciting to see that. But
I mean, we were hitting all the lakes up there too, and we didn't go home empty-handed on any of the lakes.
So what, Reno, Mary?
We didn't hit Reno.
Osakis?
No. Top secret.
We hit Mary.
Mary. That's a Mike special.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was pretty slow out there, but our go-to is Big Chippewa.
Oh, I never even fished that one.
Yeah, it's northwest of Alexandria by 15.
Garfield, I think. Spy?
Yeah, 15, 20 minutes from Alexandria.
Huh.
But back to Superior a little bit, too. We didn't touch too much on Superior. I know last winter you invited me out. You went out kind of by the Apostle Islands, too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Fish that?
Yeah, I fished that a lot in the winter. Anywhere from Ashland to up to Bayfield, there's a couple different areas you can go out there.
How thick's the ice even on Superior? I thought that lake didn't freeze.
It varies.
He's got a shit grin on his face.
Well, when we went out, he was telling me it's like 3 inches out there. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm going swimming. But then we get out there and it ended up being, what, maybe 12? Well, I mean, it varied. Yeah, that was a week later, obviously.
I was
going
to say, like, 3 inches, 12 inches.
No, it was
long.
It was when it was cold out. But
it was cold.
Yeah.
Because the ice changes out there, too, a lot. Even if you go out in an area and hit, like, say, 12 inches this weekend, you might be less than that, possibly, the weekend after because of the currents. Is that a factor out there?
Yeah, the current is huge up there. I mean, there's spots where you're consistently drilling holes, and it's 10, 12 inches, and you might hit a spot that's 3 or 4 inches. And
like when we got on the snowpack, it was a lot thinner,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, snowpack is really dangerous up there.
So I remember you mentioned too before where you guys are in such a current that you'd put your line down. Yeah, gone.
Your Vexlar is useless. I mean, really? I gave up. His had a wider angle. He had a Markham or whatever, but
yeah,
I just got a little Vexlar. But
so is that because your transducer basically gets in the water and just sits kind of at a 45 degree angle?
Well,
your
bait's floating.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
15 feet off to the side. Or
I didn't know if it was strong enough to pull that transducer off to the side of the hole and tilt it.
Yeah, I've seen it out there where it does do that.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that was mind blowing for me. Just first time ice fishing. He brought me out in the summer a couple times, but definitely different than, you know, fishing around here or anywhere.
Do not ever invite me. Because my Ice Armor bibs will be just wet with sweat. That's not from hauling out there. That's from me freaking out the whole time.
Sweat and piss.
Oh, well, Jesus.
I grew up in Duluth, and it's pretty rare to get out on the ice out there, you know, and he's talking about going out, what do we go, like 2 miles or something like that.
Yeah.
We had to cross a pressure ridge, too. He warned me about beforehand, so I made sure I peed before we left.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pressure ridges are they're changing, you know, by the minute up there at times. Wind is a huge factor up there too.
I can call it right now. All of a sudden he's gonna text him like, "Hey, did you see the news? Yeah, what about it? I was part of that group that got swept out in the Superior, and yeah. I had to have the helicopter come pick me up."
Yeah, we had drones dropping pizzas.
it'll like Scott talks about that out in Green Bay.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You have to go on at a certain time, and you have to come off. Otherwise, that chunk of ice will move off the shore, and you won't be able to get off.
I thought, like, the local lakes around here, you need to know what you're doing in the wintertime when you're driving vehicles and stuff out there. But Superior, that to me, it's a whole nother game.
Yeah.
And I don't think I would ever go out there by myself, or, you know, without anybody that's experienced or seasoned to go out there. Yes. Like yeah. I don't think I'd ever suggest anybody ever go out on that lake just on their own. Just, hey, fuck it, I'm gonna go try it and see what Superior does. It,
right?
Yeah. I don't think that's a good idea at all.
Just a Billy Badass over here giggling and calling.
Yeah.
Us Wisconsin guys don't care. We just grab a case of Spotted Cow and we just head on out to the lake
with our three fishing lines.
Yeah.
Yep.
God, that's pretty sweet, though.
Yeah, three lines in Wisconsin. Is that year round?
Yeah. Yeah.
It is. Okay.
Yeah, it definitely helps on Superior too to be able to run more lines to figure out what the fish actually want.
Get the variety out there,
because you're able to use those. Was it the tip downs or what is that? Because
jaw jackers. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, because they're not legal in Minnesota,
no,
right?
No.
Yeah.
What's a jaw jacker?
It's the jaw jacker.
You don't even want to know. It'll just make you sad.
Let these guys explain.
Do you know
it.
What an automatic fisherman is?
No.
You put your ice rod in there, and it's.
Are we talking summer fishing or winter fishing?
No, winter fishing. You put your ice rod in there, and it bends down, and then when a fish hits it, it triggers it.
And sets the hook for you.
Yeah. You got the preload on the pole.
That
so
seems, I wouldn't even want that.
I kind of do.
What he was saying, too, you kind of need it for the salmon, right? You won't,
there.
Like
oh,
a tip-up, you won't even get through the mouth plate on them.
Oh, well, I suppose I just kind of gum it, and then...
It's gone. They feel it and they spit it or something like that.
What do you know about gumming it?
It's getting dirty here.
They're going to gum it and feel it and spit it out. And
for once, I was actually being serious.
We'll get right back to... I want to pick your brain about summer fishing on Superior. How big of a boat you got?
I just have a 17.5-foot aluminum Ranger.
Oh, you got a Ranger?
Yeah. It's an older one. It's a 2000, I think.
What do you got for a motor on it then?
I have a 90-horse Mercury, and then I have a 9.9 four-stroke
for a
kicker.
And how far do you go out?
On Superior, I've been out as far as 11 miles.
Jesus.
And I wouldn't really recommend that, but I've done it.
So how big of a gas tank does it take to get out there like that? And, you know, fish around and then get back.
You have a four-stroke for the 92?
No, it's
a
two-stroke, yeah. The big motor definitely sucks gas, but that 9.9, you can run that thing all day, and it won't even move the gas gauge.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, the difference between four and two-strokes.
Right, oh, yeah.
When we went to Canada, the guy who we were fishing with, he had a 17.5-foot Crestliner Fishhawk with a 115 four-stroke. We had my dad's 17-foot Alumacraft, old 1988, with a 90-horse V4 Johnson. Like, just like what me and Gene has.
Bit of a difference there.
We would go through about 12 gallons, like almost a whole entire tank a day. He had a 25-gallon fuel tank, and he never filled it the whole week we were up there.
Wow.
And we followed him around.
That's quite a difference.
Yeah,
this four-stroke stuff's pretty cool.
Like, I would sit in the back of the boat, we'd go on miles, and I just watch the tank get lower and lower and lower. And then eventually we went to one spot, and it was below half a tank. And
really?
I was like, I don't know if we're going to make it back. But then we figured out the tank was... It was something with, like, it was curved in the back. So you couldn't, it was holding more gas than you thought.
Right.
So we're just like, oh, man, this is bad.
It's almost kind of like you got that reserve tank in the back there,
yeah,
maybe.
It was
something,
freaking
but
bad.
Huh.
So, okay, so you got the Alumacraft Ranger. You've gone 11 miles out. what is your, like, you must have to watch the weather constantly when you're up there.
Yeah, I watch it, you know, I'll start watching it like a week before I go out, and it seems to change daily. And, you know, typically when I go off the South Shore,
you're talking like Duluth area, right?
Or what do you mean east south of there? Between Duluth and like Bayfield.
So you're going out of Wisconsin side?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Typically, I like a southwest, southeast wind because, you know, when you're on that South Shore, you're protected by that shoreline.
And you're looking at like 10 mile an hour wind, less?
Yeah, I'd say 10 to 15 at max out of the south. And then like east and west, anything around 5, I'll still go out. But
you're not probably going 11 miles.
No. Typically, when I go out, I'm going 1 to maybe 3 or 4 miles.
That's not too bad.
No.
And what are you, like Tim was talking about it. Like, what are you looking for? Are you the type of guy, like, you obviously been doing this for a while. Like, did you grow up fishing?
Yeah, I've been going out there since I was probably 5 or 6 years old with my dad. I started going out there and been fishing that same port pretty much my whole life and really, really gotten to know it over the years.
So do you figure you kind of stay in a, like, a few thousand acre area?
Yeah.
That you're kind of used to and you know what's going on?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Typically, I'll go out straight from the break wall, you know, and set up in like 50 feet of water.
He's using all these terms. I have no, what's a freaking break wall? Look at me. I'm a dum-dum here. like you're like break wall, like just common. Like you probably talked to Tim about this. Tim's like, oh yeah. Yep. Oh yeah. It makes sense. And he's probably thinking back in his head, what the fuck are you talking about?
Break wall is just a big concrete wall to protect the harbor.
Oh,
some big waves.
I actually have, like, out on the ocean or whatever, I always call those breakwaters, but yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. Break
here,
wall.
Here, I was thinking it was like a piece of structure where it just freaking broke down.
All
like,
oh, right, yeah, yeah.
But so you say, where you go 50 yards out from that?
No, I'd try to find like 50 feet of water, which is probably a quarter of a mile out from that break wall.
And it's just structure. Like any of that, or
there's a couple points I like to fish out there, but it's mainly just finding the fish, finding where they are. Sometimes they're on structure, and sometimes they're not.
And like, and you're targeting lake trout, or are you targeting salmon as well?
Both. Anything that really wants to bite.
And what kind of structure are they, like walleyes? Like, what kind of structure do lake trout and salmon go for?
The lake trout, they really like rocky points, rocky bottoms. Salmon you can find pretty much anywhere, really. I mean, you catch them on the surface, you can catch them halfway down, you can catch them on the bottom.
Just hold on. People are starting to move around a little bit. I think we're gonna take our first break.
Everyone
cool with going to the bathroom quick and take our first break?
I thought it was yep. A potty break.
There's that word. Dude, I don't even say that to the new dog. We'll take a quick break, and we're going to get back on the structure of lake trout, and they like the rocks and all that good crap. So we will be right back.
So we swapped your mic around, so you're going to sound way better.
Now talk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. He's back.
There he is. I can turn it down a little bit. That was that was my fault. He's talking on the wrong side of the mic, and I'm like, I can barely hear him.
I kept looking over there, and I'm like, shit, is that on the wrong
side?
That
one's different because normally when you plug these ones in, it's like the little button that, like, this is the front.
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
That one's the same. Yours is the same. Mine's the same.
Yep.
And his, that one's different.
Yeah.
But that's an old school. That's when Scott used to do their Iancast a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Back in the day.
But
we're
back. We got, what is everyone drinking here tonight? We got Minnesota Gold.
Three of us. What do you got, Austin?
I'm drinking the bitch fizz, as Scott would call it.
The raspberry.
Yeah. Raspberry White Claw.
Nothing wrong with that.
Everyone needs a tall, skinny one once in a while.
Yeah, we were in the garage for quite a bit. Tim fed us all dinner, and I was like, I got to go to the bathroom. And I start seeing people kind of move around a little bit. I'm like, even though we're only a half hour in, we should probably go to the bathroom.
Yep.
But, all right, we'll get right back to it, Austin, now that he's got the jitters out and he's ready to go. He said he's got his Ron Burgundy voice. So Lake Trout Lake, rocky bottoms and rocky points in – and that doesn't matter what kind of depth of water or what kind of deep of water, just 50 feet?
You can find them pretty much anywhere. And then time of year makes a difference. There's times where you can find them in literally 10 feet of water. And there's times where you can find them on the bottom in 150 feet of water.
There's got to be a pattern behind that, though, isn't there?
Not really.
So it's not like, you know, what we see around here where, okay, you know, certain times of year, like the
fish go deep.
And yeah, they come exactly.
Up and go shallow yeah. In the fall. They're shallow in the spring. They're deep in the summer. And right. They come back up shallow in the fall.
I mean, yeah, there is patterns like that. But, I mean, I've been up there where you can really be smashing the fish one day and go out to the exact same spot the next day and not catch a fish. So... It's really hard to stay on fish out there, and it's not super consistent.
The last time you took me out, I think the week before, you were, you know, sub 20 feet.
Yeah.
And me and you were out 70 to 150, I think we were running.
I think maybe it was 120? Like 50 to 100 okay. That day.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention.
So you must be, you're a firm believer. I think like Tom Bowley does this too. Do you ever follow him on YouTube?
I just started watching some of his stuff. Yeah,
he's freaking good. But he does a lot of, like, I think similar to what you do, and that's you drive around until you find the fish.
Yeah,
like the rest of us, we're gonna find the weed line. We're just out there to fish. If we catch something, we don't. But you're going out
because stick
you're
the gonna, patterns you know.
Yeah, you're going to just be like, I'm not dropping a line in until I know there's fish. There's no point of fishing if there isn't any fish here.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But out there, just because there's fish there doesn't mean you're going to catch them.
No, but at least you got a better chance because you're not just looking at empty, you know, lower yeah. Ants or hummingbird, whatever you got in your boat.
Yeah, if you're not marking fish, it's really not worth your time.
And how long, like... Say you go out, hypothetical, you're going out in the morning, I don't know, sunrise probably around there.
Yeah, I try to get out there like 6-7 o'clock.
And then what's the latest that you started fishing and started marking fish? Does it take like an hour? Are you driving around for an hour checking all your points and they're not there? And then you just keep going and keep going. And the next thing you know, like it's 2-4 hours. And then all of a sudden you start marking them.
Yeah, that's definitely happened out there. It's usually not a big deal to find fish out there, but it's finding fish that actually want to bite.
Yeah.
And figuring out what they actually want.
And do you like your three lines? Do you got something different in all three?
Yeah, I try to throw all kinds of different stuff out there, and then as you start catching fish, you kind of pinpoint what they want.
Then you start to adjust and go kind of double up on that presentation or colors. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, if you're consistently getting fish on one color of spoon, then you start changing all your spoons to that same color.
And do you use flashers too?
Yeah. Yeah, I try to. It depends. If I have another guy with me, I'll try to run a pretty good variety.
Because you can have six lines then.
Yeah.
Even if Andy, I knew that.
I answered anything.
No, but even if you go out there and you're from Minnesota, do you have to buy a Wisconsin license or do you use a Minnesota license?
Border water, like St. Croix, you can use your Minnesota license, but on Superior, you need a Wisconsin license and the trout stamp or trout salmon stamp.
Great Lakes stamp.
Yeah, there it is.
That's for any Great Lakes, so that you can technically use in any state, but you would still need the state license.
And do you just, I'm guessing you must go quite a bit, or So you just I got a
cabin out there too. I'm a mud duck, as Austin refers to us as.
Yep. You bet.
So yeah. You just buy the year long. How much is it for a non-resident?
I think it's $50. Pro tip, your first license of any sort in Wisconsin is half off. So that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Even the weekend pass or whatever?
Probably not that. If it's a full year, the full year license, deer tag, fishing license, whatever you're buying, half off first time.
Even a deer tag.
Yes, sir.
That's nice.
And, that's good to know.
And you can get a doe tag a day until they sell out, just so you know.
And that's why there's no deer left.
Wait, what?
No, they're all laying on 94 fucking dead. What are you talking about? You
have to designate between private and public land, but they don't run out of public land tags. But they run out of other way around. They don't run out of private tags.
So if I go hunting out in Wisconsin for a week,
I can
shoot seven does.
You can shoot as many as you want until they sell out.
Like multiple in one day?
Like you can shoot 30 freaking deer if you...
No, so they, no way.
Okay, so they must set a limit, say, okay, this area, we're allowed 2,000 tags.
Right, for public land.
Yeah.
Private, they do have a quota for private most times the private doesn't sell out.
No, last year, so I got my buck tag and then I bought a doe tag, public land, and I was hunting private, but
What? You bought a public land, but you're hunting private?
Yeah, in case I wanted to walk the, because.
Sure.
Are you breaking the law?
Let's change the subject. Hold on now.
Some guy from DNR officers just sitting on the other, listening to this podcast going, gotcha, bitch.
Yeah. God damn it. He's going to call us again. So Who is this guy?
I got one of each. I got a public and a private tag.
Oh, good boy.
But then I was seeing a lot of does, and I was like, you know, I'm going to get another one. But they were all out of public tags. Which it doesn't matter because I was on private land and I didn't want a public tag anyways. So, but yeah, I was, I'm just going to shut up now.
They both start with P, guys. So confusing.
I'm back to the mud duck thing. I couldn't figure it out.
She's pulling her hair out right now. Sorry, Kim.
But that's interesting because I've wanted to go hunting.
So it was like 60 bucks maybe. It is pretty damn cheap for the first time. It's gonna be twice that now next year, but
yeah.
But like I want to go out like towards Appleton or whatever, because I want to do like when Scott was kind of getting into hunting.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, we'll just rotate back and forth. You come to Minnesota, I'll go to Wisconsin. Now it's to the point where like, don't come to Minnesota.
Yeah,
I'll go to Wisconsin because we can shoot multiple deer. And I don't.
And they can bait deer out there. And
I know.
Like half the county. It's getting tougher with CWD now, I believe. But
that's crazy. That
it's only like 2 gallons per quarter acre of corn or whatever you want. So, but I mean, you can bait deer out there, so that's pretty cool.
And I think you can bait in Michigan too, can't you?
I don't know about that.
Huh. But like it's like there was a guy that came and hunted in Minnesota, and he got caught. Because he's from Wisconsin.
Okay.
And he baited.
Oh, really?
And he got...
So he's used to the Wisconsin rules.
Yeah, but it doesn't apply.
It doesn't
Minnesota.
Matter. But
so he got his gun taken away.
Oh, no.
He got in a lot of trouble.
I grew up here my whole life, but man, they got it figured out over in Wisconsin as far as like... freedom of outdoor use.
Oh, Jesus. Scott's just doing the Braveheart right now.
Oh, yeah.
Freedom!
it's you know, you look at other states and it's pretty pathetic what we
and we can
restrict.
Actually shine deer over there at night. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. The Hunting Public guys, they had an episode, it was deer opener, and they went out and they were shining the deer.
Really?
To see where they were so they knew where to go.
You can, okay.
You can't shoot them, but you can take a. But no, that's super crazy about like you can shoot as many does as you want as long as there's tags still available.
I mean, like our neighbors, they got 20, 30 deer hanging from the deer pole, and it's like a dude and his kid, you know, just.
And then they wonder why they don't see anything. That's in two or three, 4 years.
You just gotta go bow hunting. Well, I mean, you have a good point, Austin. Like. You're killing your entire herd in 1 year.
You definitely got to manage what you're doing, too. But
responsibility.
It'd be good if you had a ton of does. Like, if you had a huge, heavy population of does, you can really thin it out quick, but I mean, that's a lot.
But you're only going to be able to do that for a year or two, and then after that, you're going to, you know, take out a lot of the herd, and you're going to have to wait for everything to replenish. So I'm guessing that they set up those numbers of tags to the population that they're seeing and what they want to get rid of, maybe.
If you look at like harvest numbers, they easily double what Minnesota gets. I mean, it's a deer factory over there.
They do have, like, I looked it up when I was over at Scott's. They do have more deer in Wisconsin than we do in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. Well, I said in a comment before, you drive 94 across that state, and they're all over the road. And actually, last time we drove through Wisconsin, I think we're over at Scott's house for Ian's grad party, and we're coming home. That was the first time I actually seen an alive deer on 94.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I didn't almost hit it. He was far enough away, but it's like I've been seeing all these dead deer this whole time, and then all of a sudden I see my first live one. I'm like, that was kind of different for me.
Yeah, but what are you going to do with 30 deer? Yeah, like, unless you're giving it away, that seems like a waste to me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
if you got a whole family that's going to eat off of
like
it,
if you got a family of four,
right,
and you got, you know, kids that are decent age, I could see shooting 2-3, and that's all you use if you were to grind it in a burger.
Yep,
like that's good. But 20,
yeah,
and I'm sure you were like over exaggerating.
No, not at all. I'm not kidding.
Jesus,
I'm not kidding.
That's like, unless you're gonna give it away to like people.
Yep.
I mean, I know I can eat like 3-4 deer a year because I kind of don't buy beef or nothing like that, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of that's a lot of deer to go through.
Crazy.
Even for a whole family, and I'm just single guy or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Half of that's gonna get freezer burned.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want to pay the processing fee on that?
Well, I'm sure a lot of those guys, they gotta be doing this stuff on their own.
But you know how much work that is?
Like, it's a lot of work.
Just cutting it, yeah.
I mean, yeah. I was saying the same thing. I'm like, that's a shitload of work to be done, and then if you were to pay for processing, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'd be fine with cutting it, but
right.
Like, can you imagine making brats or sausage, constantly?
Yeah.
Let's just grab another casing and...
That's why you go bulk. Just throw it in a bag.
Yep. That's crazy.
But I'll get back to Superior now. So when you take him out, you got six lines. Because you're talking about how you like to change it up. So you got six lines out with different presentations on each one.
Yeah.
How many fish does it take for you to... Oh, yeah. You showed me a picture.
That's just one side.
That's freaking... How do you not get tangled up? I take, like, my dad out, and next thing you know, I got, like, his line and something else on there. And
off of this bullet, we've had up to 14 lines. Jesus. Off of it.
I can imagine how you guys do that. You were telling me about that the other day, too, and... You know, when I went fishing with you guys, we had three lines off of it. It took us a couple minutes to figure it out, and then once we got it, it's like, here we go. You know, we're in good shape. But 14 lines off the back of a 17-foot boat, that's insane.
Are you running planer boards off of your downriggers then, too?
Yeah, I run planer boards, downriggers, and dipsy divers.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And the dipsy divers, those are like planer boards, but in the water, right? They kick the line out even farther one way.
The planer board is just strictly designed to pull the line away from the boat. It's not used for actually like pulling the line under.
Yep.
The dipsy divers are designed to actually pull the line down.
Down in whatever direction.
Yeah, you can adjust them to pull either straight back or left or right, whatever side you're running it on. So
you're on your six lines, you got a planer board on the far ends on what, say, where you're fishing off. If you're looking at the back of the boat, the right side.
Yeah.
So you got a planer board, probably two planer boards, and then a dipsy diver, and that line is probably going out at like a 45-degree angle that way.
Yeah.
If you're fishing in 70 feet of water.
Yeah.
And then you got just kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of weird to explain, but just line after line after line, and you're covering. That's what's cool is with all this technology, it's not really, it's kind of old. Like, they've been using it forever. You're covering so much water. Like, you're making one swoop in a basin, and you can have the stuff on the left side of the boat. If you're coming up, say, 20 feet or whatever, you can have that stuff set to hit right on that. And then as they're deep, like, it's,
Yeah, you're kind of running a giant left, right, grid
up
pattern.
And down. Yeah, covering like, the whole water column.
That's
yeah.
freaking. That's
kind of like a giant grid ridiculous. Coming across the water.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you have the patience to deal with all that? Like you reel in one fish, and it's like you're unhooking like a million things.
I was gonna say, okay, you hook into say a 20-pound fish. Are you, you know, pulling everything in?
Yeah.
And you know, basically stopping the whole show just to get that one fish, right?
Yep. Yeah, you'll. I mean, you know, when you're hooked into a good fish and. There's some guys that'll leave the lines out, but I've learned to just pull them and play it safe instead of losing that trophy fish.
So with two guys and six lines out there, you're able. The one guy's obviously he's consumed working that fish. The other guy is basically got to. I'm assuming there's certain lines you want to get pulled
yep.
in first.
Yeah.
And if then, he's not a rookie mud duck, then...
Oh, did you get yelled at out there?
I might have got yelled at. No, he was pretty cool about it.
Well, I was going to say, if you take me out, you can't be serious about this shit, because I don't know what I'm doing.
I will tell you the biggest thing with trolling, if a fish hits, you got to set the hook like crazy, like Tim does.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but
you know,
I missed a lot.
The guy that's sitting behind Tim almost
I was in
gets
the front
the
of the boat,
taken
yeah.
out. Because he sets the hook so hard.
Dude,
that might have been the beers.
You should, see Tim no. jig for walleyes on Red Lake. Wyatt came over. We were drinking beer or whatever. And Wyatt came over and he was telling us about, you know, Tim's trying to catch a walleye. We're like, where's Tim? He's like, oh, he's over there. You know, he's trying to catch a walleye. He's like, he's got some big jig on there. And he goes, I swear to God, every time he's jigging that thing, it's hitting the ceiling. Like, he is just up and down, up and down. And then Scott looks at Wyatt straight face, looks at the hole, and goes, come on, you son of a bitch, fight the fucking line! Oh,
close.
But I've seen Tim set the hook.
Oh, yeah, he goes all fucking Jeremy Wade on it.
I'll tell you, weed out the small ones.
Oh, yeah, wow. Nope, that one's gone.
Wasn't worth having.
Now I got to reel it back in and get my bait. Because yeah. The bait went with it. No wonder why you need that Grand Caravan fish house.
Yeah, nice and tall.
Yeah, you can set the hook.
That's right.
High rise.
I'm going to have to call and see what the specs are on that ice cap. See how tall that roof is. I need a skylight put in there.
But yeah, that's a lot. Like, even when I was doing the snap weights, it seemed like just a pain in the butt. Just trying to reel it in a little bit, snap it off. You know, and like being by myself, and you just put a post out the other day. You went up and fished by yourself. And what was the lake trout you caught up there? That was a freaking pig, too.
That was a brown trout.
Oh, that was a brown?
Yeah. Yeah, that was probably one of my top five biggest browns up there. That one was like 25 inches. I didn't weigh it, but it was a nice fish.
What, you should post. I don't think you posted on the community
yeah,
page.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that.
That was impressive. They are pretty. Because you did say something yeah. about the color of them, yeah. the fish up yeah. in Superior.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
That's crazy.
Well, that one you caught ice fishing was really nice, too. What was that?
That one was 31 and a half inches. Oh, that geez. One was, I'd have that in the freezer to yeah. get that one mounted.
Well, just the pictures that you've showed me before, just off of your phone, like ice fishing. I want to go out there and ice fish.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah, the ice, the clarity of the ice, the clarity of the water, everything's just
it's so different than anything you've experienced
exactly.
too. Just
yeah.
the
yeah,
current, it's everything.
I mean, you can watch those fish. Say you're fishing 70 feet of water. You might mark a fish 60 feet down. And the biggest thing up there is to try to get your bait away from them. If you sit and jig in front of them, they will not touch it. And you can actually watch them. I've seen them come up 50 feet on a Vexilar hummingbird or whatever. And the water clarity is probably 20, 25 feet, so you can actually see them down there. And
do you put water on top of the ice? So that it's clear in your house. I've seen guys that like they almost cut a big spear hole.
Yeah.
But then they take the water and then they melt all the ice so it's just clear.
Yeah, I've seen guys do that, and if you're running a heater in the shack, it usually kind of melts it off anyway.
Yeah.
So I've never actually put water on top of the ice.
Shit, I get excited sitting on a local lake in 6 feet of water and seeing a northern, you know, when you got that, before you get that snow on the ice.
Yeah, that flash of color, you see it. I get
sketched out when there isn't any snow and ice. And then the ice could be, you know, 8 inches thick, but you can't tell.
Yeah. I get sketched out, too, if I don't see any cracks. If I see some cracks and I can kind of gauge what kind of water or what kind of ice we're on,
sure,
then I'm okay, yeah. But just the fact when you can watch, like, say, a northern come in and just when you're reeling it in and you get a few feet from the hole or whatever, you can see through the ice and see that fish moving. When Austin showed me those pictures of Superior like that, I couldn't imagine. I think it'd be just a ton of fun fishing a lake that clear. So you mentioned before, too, if you dangle that bait right in front of them, they don't want it then, huh? So
yeah.
They just want that hunt or something?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that why because they're just such an aggressive fish, too?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. If you want to get some lakers, Glacier. Glacier National Park in Montana, Lake McDonald, you guys saw it last year.
Yeah.
It's, to them, lake trout is considered an invasive species.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
So you can take your boat out there, get it inspected, and you can fish in the national park, and you can keep as many lake trout as you want.
That's crazy.
And no one fishes it. So just imagine the lake trout that are in these. The lake's, 500 feet deep.
Yeah.
And it's a big lake. It's not like Lake Superior, but it's probably like, I don't know, like a pelican around here, but with nothing, like no cattails or anything. It's just a big long like curve. That would be something cool to do.
Yeah.
You're sitting right in the mountains and just slamming lake trout. Right.
Oh, that'd be nuts.
Oh my gosh, that water's crystal clear. I mean, that is crystal clear.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So we talk about trout and some salmon. I like eating fish. So what do you do about preparing your fish now between the trout and the salmon? Are you smoking everything that you usually pull out of there? Are you baking, frying? What's the method?
There's a lot of different ways of doing it. Most of the time, I like to smoke the lake trout. The salmon are really good on the grill. There's guys that bake them, deep fry them. I know a lady that actually likes to boil the lake trout in orange soda.
Is that supposed to be like the northern and what was it?
Poor man's lobster.
Poor man's lobster.
Seven up.
Northerns. Yeah.
Yeah, she said it's really good, but.
I never heard of that.
Oh, yeah.
I've had the poor man's lobster. We did that here before.
I did that with eel pout, too, I heard.
Eel pout, that's I heard was one butter. Of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that stuff's good.
Yeah. But the orange pop, yeah, that's kind of
I think
weird.
You should post your lake trout smoking recipe to the maybe Border Outdoors Facebook page because
that. A lot of sugar, a lot of brown sugar.
That takes salmon.
Do you brine it beforehand, too?
Yeah, and I actually tried a recipe this year with, it's not even technically a brine. You just put the seasoning over the top of the fillets and let them sit overnight in the fridge. And it kind of pulls all that moisture out of the fillet and kind of creates its own brine. And that was actually really good, too.
What are you cooking at for temp and how long?
I use my pellet smoker, which...
That's what I got. Who cares?
I don't know.
There's no shame.
I just wish
judgment-free zone.
Yeah, you do not feel shame.
I wish the temperature, I wish he could go down lower because I think it's 165 is the lowest. And typically at that temperature, it takes like 4 to 5 hours.
Mm.
Well, something like that. I've never used a pellet smoker before, but with something like that, you said the 165, can you crack a lid to help you out or no?
But then I think you're losing a lot of smoke.
Yeah,
that's what I was worried about, too.
And I think it's going to keep feeding more chips to
catch up. Yeah,
I think the pellet smoker I have, I don't even know what brand it is. I got it from my dad. I think that goes down to 120.
You need to find an offset in that controller and that smoker.
Yeah, but the only problem when it goes down to like that low is you can't do that much smoke because you have, like, the P settings or whatever.
Yeah.
If you do too much smoke, it'll just cut it off because it's you can't feed more chips because you're telling it to be this temperature.
Right. Yeah.
Chokes it out a little
yeah.
bit. Yeah.
Yeah. But you should bring some over. We'll
yeah, I mean, the stuff you brought, I thought that was salmon. And, like, I mean, we brought a lot of lake trout home. I tried cooking it, and it's pretty not good when I cook it. Pretty fishy, pretty.
Yeah,
it stayed fishy.
Oily and all yeah. that. But
I mean, I know there's a lot of oil in it. Yeah.
That was, you did a damn good job on that.
Corey gave me some that after the first time he came on the podcast.
Yep.
And he talked about how he made some for their lake trout week and they go to northern Minnesota.
Right.
And he brought me a little slab. Oh, that shit was so good. Oh. Yeah. It's like going to Maury's.
I was just going to ask you, is it like going to Maury's or better?
It was, I mean, Maury's, that's all salmon, but like, it was so freaking good. It wasn't like, because I've had some people, they try it and it's like, especially salmon, it's too salty. Like, they're trying to get that moisture out with the brine, and they let it sit for too long, and it's like you got to drink, like, three beers after a bite because it's so salty.
See, the only time I ever really prepared salmon here was just buying this shit from Cub Foods or whatever. You know, I had a sale or whatever, and I did it on those wooden planks on a charcoal grill.
Oh, the cedar planks?
Cedar planks, yeah. I did cedar. I did alm, a couple different woods, and I kind of liked it that way, but you can just watch that oil just bubble out of there and ooze out of there. But I kind of got to the point where I was actually kind of patting it down, a little bit of paper towel here and there. And then once I got it to where that stopped coming out, then I'm like, okay, these are done, ready to go. You know, take a fork, test them. They're kind of flaky. They're good to go. But so we kind of fell in love with that for a little while. We did that for actually a few months one summer, and then we just kind of grew away from it and stopped doing it that way. I actually started using just making a tray out of tin foil with like half inch sides, put a little bit of olive oil in the bottom, and then just find my own seasoning like Mrs. Dash or something.
Yep.
And then we started making it that way, and I was using wood chips in on top of my charcoal.
Yeah.
And that to me tasted better than the planks. Yeah. Cedar planks, I don't know, they kind of give it a little bit of a funky taste, but it's something to try. It's definitely different. You can do it with a gas grill too if you wanted to.
That's I've done something similar to that with like walleye. Like the walleye we had at Red Lake. I left the skin on, and I just seasoned it and just threw it on in a tinfoil pan, and then just threw it in the pellet smoker, and just, I don't know, whenever I thought it was done in it.
Yep.
And that's like her. We don't deep fry anything.
Yeah.
It's either goes in the oven or goes in the pellet smoker.
Yep. Good way to do it.
Like, baked walleye, if you got the butter and the right seasoning, it's probably not that much better for you. But man, is it freaking good. It just falls apart.
Well, Mac, your grandma made one hell of a baked northern back in the day.
I never had that.
She used to put stuffing in there and everything.
Really?
Oh, my God. Yeah, she told me one day, she's like, go out and catch me, I don't know, X amount of weight northern, like a five.
I thought it was seven.
I think it had to be seven. Seven-pound northern.
Specific size.
Yeah, go catch me a seven-pound northern. So I did, and yeah, she took that sucker and she split it in half and put it in the oven with stuffing. Son of a bitch.
Wow.
I think my mom tried to do that because we were catching walleye. She's like, I'm going to bake one. I'm like, that sounds fucking nasty.
It does. It does.
Yeah. But then I never ate it after that. Like, she just would go bake it, and then her and Mike would eat it. But if I would have known, like, stovetop stuffing?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Wait, all year for stovetop stuffing.
Well, now you can do it all year round.
We're going to have to get our cookbook going.
I'm going to stop pickling fish then.
No. I like that shit. That's
good. That reminds me. I got a couple of jars upstairs. Once we get done with this, we'll have to go crack a jar open.
All right. Austin, you are the maid of honor, guest of honor, matron of maid of honor. You're not getting married. You're not a woman, but.
He's not the best man either, but.
I mean, I could be. Depends on the day.
But you are the guest of honor. Is there anything else that you would like to cover?
I mean, you guys can just ask away.
All right. Oprah Winfrey, Barbra Streisand, your wife. Like one, marry one, kill one. Go! No, I'm just kidding. All right. I got a serious question. What, for anyone that's like, listening to this podcast, if they get anything out of it, like, obviously you're super knowledgeable about this, and like we were talking before, it's so hard to pinpoint like all the questions about it, because we don't really know a whole lot about it. And the more that you come on the podcast, we'll be able to, like, especially if you had Seth or Corey here, who went lake trout fishing, and they're going up to Superior, I think in August, on a charter or something.
Okay.
So, like, we don't really know the right questions to ask, but, like, for someone that wants to go fishing up there and say they're going to go fishing, they're going to take their boat, they're just going to try it, what are the do's and what are the don'ts? Or is there any specific, like,
What really stands out?
Yeah, like, this, don't do this.
Absolutely do, like, not do this, or you're not going to make it back alive, or whatever.
Oh, I guess the biggest thing would be watch the weather. Don't.
Okay.
I mean, just because it's sunny and 75 in the morning doesn't mean that it's going to be that 2 hours from then.
It changes pretty fast, right?
Yeah, I've been up there where it's 85, 90 degrees, perfectly flat out, and I've had that wind kick up out of the north, and the temperature will drop 30 degrees within 25 minutes.
And then you're just reeling up and heading back?
Yep, trying to bust ass to get out of there, because once those waves start rolling, they don't stop.
And what, like, I guess my biggest question out of this whole thing is, where are the public accesses? Like, or do you have to go through...
That's a good question.
Like, a certain place, like a charter or something like that?
There's not a ton of public access on the South Shore between, like, Duluth and Bayfield. There's only, like, three or four. But if you look on Navionics, they're all marked. They're all public. And they're pretty easy to find.
Well, and then you can, like, Port Wing, it's just you pay for parking.
Where is that?
Wherever the hell you took me, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll go off that.
That's
where he goes out of, huh?
Port Washington.
Well, that one. It's not Port Wing.
Yeah, this guy doesn't, like, give up any info here. Yeah.
I'm a mud duck. I don't care. I don't fish there. It's when I'm with him. But anyway, you just pay for parking. It's not public, but it's, you
know, it's just a private.
$10 or whatever for the day.
Yeah, it's, I think it's like $5.
Even better.
And do they keep the public access is pretty in pretty good shape?
Yeah, they're really nice. I mean, they're accommodating for bigger boats too. So, like, if you got a 30 or 40 foot boat, you can pretty easily launch off of those accesses.
And, like, the normal, like, guys like us, like, I got a 16 and a half, you got a 17. That's not normal up there. Like, when you're fishing, like, I'm sure there's guys that go up there, but the majority of the boats that are going out there, they're 20 footers, they're 19 footers. I mean, they're pretty big boats.
Yeah. Yeah. Last weekend when I was up there, I saw a couple guys in like 14 and 16 footers.
Oh boy.
I mean, it was a nice enough day where it really didn't matter, but if something went wrong, it would get pretty sketchy.
So you're able to launch your own boat up there, though, because I've been to some, like, a bigger lake in the, was it Nebraska, where they actually had dedicated trucks that would launch your boats, because the landings were so long, and, you know, the water drop, you know, the water drop down so shallow that they actually had people doing it for you, or else people are always just driving halfway across the lake just to launch their boats.
No,
but I'm sure there you basically just back right in and go, right?
It's they have concrete pads and everything on the drop off, so it's not like when you back your trailer in, it's perfectly level every single time. It's not like your trailer's all cockeyed and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
So,
you don't get all those guys that are all uptight because they're trying to get on or off the lake and you're in their way. And
Haven't really ran into them up there yet, but I'm sure there's guys out there with their fancy $100,000 Rangers and whatnot. But
they just want to get out there, and you're in their way.
Well, it doesn't matter. He's in his own private little area. What's the name of that again?
Port Wing.
Port Wing.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm never coming back on here.
It's kind of by, like, Ashland.
Why do you guys have to keep saying that? It's Port Washington.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the one. Sorry, dude.
No, it really.
Hey, you still got to catch the fish.
Bring a kid. That's all that matters. Yeah. Get a kid out there, sharing the outdoors.
You're gonna,
there you go.
Yeah, you're going to go through the same access and give this guy more money to keep up the landing. But
it
doesn't mean you're going to catch the fish.
Exactly. Plenty of fish in that sea, right?
I guarantee if Tim and I could follow you, we probably still wouldn't get any.
Yeah, that's the thing. I could send you waypoints to where I fish up there. And
all we'd catch is a buzz.
Right. Well, nothing wrong with that either.
No, it's all right.
What is your go-to lure? Like, you're like, all right, you always got this one jig or whatever you're fishing. You always have that out because it's always brought you fish.
Most of the time I run spoons up there, and my best producer of color is probably watermelon. And that's like a
pink and
green on the sides, and then it's got black dots on it.
Okay.
And then another one is like a purple and black spoon. Purple is usually pretty good for lake trout up there.
How big are the spoons? It's not like a daredevil. Like,
I usually run the standard Michigan Stinger is the brand, and they're 3 3/4 inch.
So it's pretty good size.
I thought it would be a little bigger. I was thinking like, 6 inches. But I mean, what's a standard daredevil? That's got to be
three and a half.
Yeah, they're like skinnier than a daredevil, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
They are. Okay. Yeah.
They're pretty skinny.
So they must really freaking. And how fast are you going when you're trolling?
Anywhere from, I've caught typically lake trout like it a little slower, anywhere from like 2.0 to 2.4.
That's slow. I'm used to walleyes where it's like 0.8.
Yeah.
And then the salmon and the browns are typically 2.5 to 2.8.
That little bit makes that big of a difference.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and current is huge up there. It might be perfectly calm. You might be running, say you're trolling west at 2.5. You can turn around and go the exact opposite way, not touch any of your controls, your throttle or anything, and you might be going 0.8. You might be going 3.0.
Oh.
And that current changes daily too, doesn't
it? Yeah, it changes. It could be by the hour. Man,
that's crazy.
You're,
that's
tough. Like ice fishing. So
yeah,
we had our jigs down, and your line is literally following the ice because the current is pushing so hard, and then it'll go slack, and then it'll go 180 degrees back the other direction, and then it'll go slack, and then it'll go 90 degrees the other. Like,
so it's like tied in, tied out kind of deal.
You were saying it's like the wind causes it more than anything?
Yeah, sometimes the wind can affect it. If there's a strong northeast wind up there in the winter, typically that current's going to be coming out of the northeast, but with the islands in there, it kind of swirls around and it changes hourly at times.
Yeah, it was a whole new world for me out there. It was pretty cool.
Well, it shows you what kind of fisherman you are. If even in summer or winter, the current is changing hourly, the depth, or not even the depth, the speed, like all the tools, everything you have, and you're pretty successful. Like Tim was saying, like, you know your shit. Like, it's pretty impressive that a kid that's, you're not that old and you have all this knowledge. It's going to be crazy to see another 25 years from now.
Right. Yeah, take your family's experience and then now add up your own experience on top of that. That's cool.
Pretty nuts.
Yeah.
And you can probably just look at a lake map and be like, there, there, and there are the spots we're going. And if we're not catching them there, then we're going here. This is the fallback, because I know they're probably here, but what did he say? You want to catch a lot of them or you want to catch the big ones?
Right.
That's a little, you got some big cojones if you can, back that up. Like, that's pretty cool.
All I got is we're going to troll us late clockwise today. Tomorrow we're going to counterclockwise.
Because the wind's the current. The current isn't going to switch, but...
Well, no,
we're going to make our own.
The cows are laying down. They're facing east, so we got to go clockwise today. I wish that science worked. I don't know. I've heard a lot of that bullshit, too.
Well, it's, yeah, like the moon phase in deer hunting, they say it doesn't even affect, like, it's just an old wives' tale.
Yep. But it sounds
good. I
don't
know.
You pay a lot of attention to that for fishing, though.
Oh, fishing's different. Yeah.
Up on Superior, I follow those charts pretty religiously, and they've been pretty damn accurate.
Huh.
I could just see his bedroom. It's just nothing but just, like, the weather, like, the farmer's almanac, some other weather thing. You know, he's probably got a giant TV that's got, like, the weather channel constantly. He's got the moon phases over here. Like, and then he's got a picture of his boat in the middle, and he just does, like, the Notre Dame. Every time he leaves his room, he just taps the wall. Like, just taps the wall. Bring me luck today.
Yep.
But I don't have anything else. I'm sure I'll come up with other questions, listen to the podcast, and be like, God, why didn't you ask this? And I know Seth and Corey would be like, you fricker. Like, he should have said this.
All these questions in so little time.
But we'll have to have you come back on. Hopefully, again, we can have you call in, even though you're moving away.
Yeah.
But we'll have you come back in, like, when fall.
Yeah.
And I know that we're going to definitely, maybe we'll have to make a trip.
I might go up there. Make a trip. I might go up there ice fishing.
And
do no, you
ice
won't.
Fishing. No. I won't go up there. But.
Yeah, from here on out, as the temps start to drop up there, the fishing usually only gets better until middle of October up there.
What happens then is it just peaks off.
The water temps start to cool down.
Just to get too cold. Okay.
Yeah, the fish start coming up into the rivers to spawn too. So, I mean, they're right offshore. They're in 20 feet of water.
Do you switch to walleye fishing in October up there?
No, I don't really target walleyes that much up there just because there's not a huge population.
Oh, really?
A couple weeks ago, we actually caught quite a few on Superior, though, and we weren't even trying for them. Nothing real big. I think the biggest was like 18.
That's an eater.
Yeah.
it's
just cool, calm, collect. Like, yeah, we weren't even trying and we were catching walleyes. Like,
yeah, I mean, we were pulling spoons and stuff, and you don't, like, we were running, like I said, 2.5 miles an hour and catching walleyes.
Yeah, just a reaction.
And
you see that and just come up and just smack it.
It's weird because one of the ones we caught was on a 6-color lead. So it was about 30 feet down and 70 feet of water.
Jeez.
Like,
wow.
What the hell is a walleye doing out here? But
right.
It's up
chasing
there, you
Ciscos?
Just. Yeah. You just never know up there what you're going to hook into.
Yeah. Yeah, how about a sturgeon? So you're not catching them off of spoons at 2.5 miles an hour.
If you fish them in the bay in Ashland, you can catch them out there.
Yeah.
There's guys that catch them through the ice. And then eel pout are super popular up there in the winter, too. I've never actually specifically targeted them, but something that's on the bucket list.
That'd be fun. At Luna Hammer.
He's big on the burbot.
Yeah, he knows the burbot.
Yeah.
I don't have anything else.
No.
You guys good with wrapping it up there?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Border Outdoors, I'm Mac.
I'm Tim.
I'm Austin.
And I'm Andy.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks for listening to the Border Outdoors podcast. Follow us on Instagram. Be sure to join, follow, and share the Border Outdoors Facebook community page. Please leave us a 5-star rating on Apple, Spotify, or your preferred podcast hosting site. Be sure to tune in next week to see what the guys are talking about.
Border Outdoors. Border Outdoors, here we come. Border Outdoors. Border Outdoors, here we come. Hunting and fishing, singing and kissing, here we come. Grab your guns, grab your lines, and here we come.